All right. Today we have Angela. Angela is, I feel like, a staple of the music community around here because she is a show attender, for lack of a better word. She's such a big supporter of the scene and what happens around here. And her fiance, BJ, you'll see them just all around town bopping and popping and like supporting just like all of the musicians. And she's just got this great energy. And this conversation, we really connected just over our like chronic illness things. And so this conversation, I just felt, I've been getting a little bit better. I've been on a steady trajectory upward. It's not consistently up, but it's kind of like up and down and up and down and up and down. But each time I think I'm getting a little more up. I think I deeply needed this conversation. And she's just someone who's been in her illness for a lot longer than I have. And so it felt like I was talking to fucking the Dumbledore of chronic illness. So this was just a really beautiful conversation. And she reached out to me afterward too. And she was like, you know, I know you have your friends and your support system and like a wonderful partner. But if you ever need just someone who understands what you're going through, like I'm here. And I was like, yes, same. And we've just kind of been going back and forth even since this conversation, just little things here and there. About our journeys, because the journey is never ending. And even when you think you have one thing, something else happens and funding gets cut or your insurance decides not to cover your medication anymore or your medication stops working all of a sudden or whatever is going on, or you end up in a flare up, you get sick and then you flare up, or you get your period and you flare up, or whatever happens. So it's just a never ending journey. Can we get what's the word when you like use a song and you don't pay for it? Can we get sued for that? I don't think so. It's under 10 seconds, right? Isn't it like 10 seconds? That's the thing. I don't know. Anyway, so this was a lovely conversation. I can't wait for y'all to hear it. Angela's an incredibly strong and just formidable woman. So I was honored to speak to her and to have her support through my journey. Talking to normal
people. I'm not on customer calls all day long. So whenever I'm not, I'm listening to podcasts.
Yeah. Oh, that is the absolute best part about working from home. I love that. Okay. So I think we are recording. We are good to go. All right. Can you talk a little bit?
I can. Can you hear me?
Oh, yeah. I can hear you. Your voice sounds great on the pod.
Good.
Let me. Do you feel comfortable? Do you need anything? You want to sit back? Do you need a pillow behind you?
I think I am in the sit back.
Yeah. Sit back a little bit, get comfy, and then I'm going to move the mic to hit your face.
All right. This is good.
Good?
Yeah.
Okay. I do love, like, a cross-legged on the couch moment. All right. Here we go. Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God. Your ring! Seeing it in person.
It's much more beautiful in person, isn't it? That was
the clusters, yeah. The like asymmetrical vibe.
I love it. I love it. I love it. I love it. Okay, I want to be able to see your face a little. We will bring this down just
cool.
A tad.
Sounds good. I like that. Did you guys put the carpet squares in here, or were those already in there?
That's our landlord.
They work though. They work. They add some softness and.
I know.
Yeah.
It's the carpet that's around the entire house, which is like, I'm a little sick of it now, but actually just the other day I was like, maybe we should have our landlord and ask if they're cool with this painting. And I think that they would be. They're like.
Well, the worst they're going to say is no. I mean, it doesn't hurt.
Might as well try, right?
Absolutely.
I'm like, might as well give it a shot. And they're like super chill. Honestly, I feel like they'd be totally fine with it. So good. I'm like, we'll see what happens. But do you guys rent or own?
We own.
You own?
Yeah, we bought our house 2021, March of 2021.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Okay. Wow. Do you love it?
We do. Well, of course, in case something goes wrong. But we live in, when BJ and I moved in together, he was living in the same neighborhood we're in. Oh. And we're about 4 blocks from where we are. So we knew when we bought a house, we wanted to be in that neighborhood.
Yeah. Oh, nice. Oh, my God. And are you guys like a blended family?
We are.
You are. Oh, my God.
So I have 2 children that are back home in Michigan. My oldest will be 30 this year. And my youngest is, she just turned 25.
Oh, my God. Last month. Okay.
And then BJ has a 16-year-old son and an 11-year-old daughter.
Wow. Oh, so. That's so cute. How was it? How do you feel like that transition was?
Really easy, actually.
That is incredible. That surprises me, not even a little bit, knowing the two of you. I'm like,
and
of course.
And they're, I don't know, his kids have a lot of personality, same traits that my kids have. So it's like a do-over, you know, like I can, what I've learned worked, didn't work, is helpful.
Oh,
with
yeah,
them.
I didn't even think about that with like the 10 years apart and just being like, okay.
Cause I thought the next time I was going to have little kids in my life would be if grandkids, but both of my children have been very adamant that they're not going to have children. So
really?
Yeah.
Wow.
So then I got a second chance with these little ones.
Yeah. I did just, I was listening to this podcast and they were talking about, there's this New York Times article and they were like, it was an article about parents being like grieving that they won't be able to be grandparents. And I was like, and this girl was like, I just feel like that's such a wild thing to like put on your kids to be like, well, now I don't get to be a grandparent. And I was like, whoa. So I'm like, that's completely their choice.
Absolutely.
You know?
And honestly, I mean, my philosophy on children is, yes, I want them to have a better life than I did. Like, you always want to learn and have improvement and have their lives be better and not have the same mistakes, trauma, things like that that you had. But I just want them to be happy. Like, yeah. I want, you know, I mean, do I want grandkids? Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I have grand animals. I have a grand dog. I have 2 grand cats. I have grand snakes, lizards, all the...
Oh, my God.
My oldest has a zoo.
Oh, my God.
Because
I
think
that.
Once you have 5 animals, I think anything above 5 qualifies as a zoo.
Stop. Oh, my God. I didn't know that. Okay,
so,
that's incredible.
But it's... But it, I mean, you're not raising people to be who you want them to be. You're raising them to be functional adults in the world and to do what they want to do. Mm. You know, as long as it's good stuff, ethical,
right,
and moral.
Yeah,
and
always, like, it's like, as long as we're not hurting anyone else. Yeah.
And my kids, honestly, obviously I don't see them as much as I would like to because I moved away from where they live, but I always say that I'm so proud of them and honored to have them as friends. As a bonus, aww, they're my kids, but they're just amazing people that are amazing to the people that are in their worlds, and they're just they're doing their thing and they're living their lives the way they want to, and it's wonderful.
Oh, wow. I feel like that's so beautiful because that just made me like, there's maybe like emotional, because I just feel like JP and I have been talking a lot about just like kids, because I'm kind of like 75-25 of like wanting to have them. I'd say actually right now I'm like 25-75, want to have them, don't want to have them. But like my whole life I've been like, oh yeah, I'm gonna have kids, gonna have kids, gonna have kids. And now as we get like older, I'm just like really thinking about it, and I'm going through all this stuff, all this health stuff, and I'm just like, I can't pick a child up off the floor right now. Like, I couldn't bring a child into this world because I literally, JP would have to physically do every part of raising them right now. Like, I can barely keep myself together.
Absolutely.
No way could I bring a child into this. But I'm like, you know, if this gets sorted, do we want to do this? Do we not want to do this? And I just, I love this idea because I was like, you know, that is kind of what I said to him too, was I was like, well, we could raise these kids and it could be like a combination of the best parts of both of our childhoods plus everything we've learned about like working with children in the last like 5 years while he's been working at SPAC and I've been doing this like yoga music class with kids and like I've been doing this like training and all this stuff. And I'm like, oh my God, like this is so cool. And like, I was like, we could actually raise like amazing fucking kids, but absolutely. It's like, do we want to?
And that's,
it's hard.
That's
hard.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I'll even go one further step and let you know, I mean, the difference that you guys are making in these, in children that you have any part of their life. Because mine and BJ's friend group is nearly exclusively all childless adults. And, you know, as far as I mean, we don't really talk about it a lot because I know their family gives them enough pressure, but it's by choice. You know, it's just, they've just decided not to have kids. But one of the things that I've studied, I've got my fair share of trauma and then some, but
I'm sorry, I'm not laughing at your trauma. No, but I'm just like, it's, I get it.
That's fair.
Oh my God.
But you know, when you do the research on the negative factors that impact a child, you know, divorce, whatever, there's points assigned to all of it.
But
there are positive factors. And one of the biggest positive factors is, having a safe adult. So that could be a teacher, a Girl Scout, Boy Scout leader, it could be anything. And you and JP are, whether you decide to have children or not, you guys are making impacts on people's lives. And that could be your friends' kids. That could be, you know, people Mrs. that you're, nephews. That you're teaching. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Anybody that you come across, that makes a huge difference.
That just like, oh my God.
My intention was not to make you cry today.
Make me cry today. Correct. No. Wow. I had a gig last night and I played a bachelorette party.
Okay.
It was like so funny. This girl like sent me an email and I was like, hi, can you hop on a phone call? This is definitely a scam. Was like all that I was thinking. I was like, this is a scam. And then we like hopped on this phone call and she's like, the bride just like loves singer-songwriters. And she's like, and I just like think you'd be like a great vibe, like whatever. And I was like, okay. And it was so funny because I like looked out in the audience during one of my songs and I saw the bride like visibly sobbing. And I was like, Aww. Oh my God. And then she came up to me after and she was like, I cried through half of it, but it was amazing. And I was just like, whoa. Because I was just like, I'm sorry that... this is your bachelorette, like
right.
And like literally after we were done, it was like this guy named Craig coming in to like teach them how to make mozzarella.
Oh my gosh!
And I was like, so I just made them all cry, and then they're all gonna learn how to make mozzarella. Like,
I mean, it was just, there's like, nothing better than cheese after a good cry.
Literally, I watched this this documentary, and they were talking about how like when you eat cheese, it literally releases dopamine in your brain, which is why like we can't stop eating it because you're just like. Like, this is so good.
That dopamine, makes sense. Dopamine.
I know. And I was like, whoa. So every time I eat cheese, that's all that I think about. I'm like eating pizza. And I'm like, this is why I can't stop eating this pizza. It's because it's just hitting the dopamine in my brain. But I've just been thinking. I was thinking about it yesterday. And then, of course, today. Because it's like, I just never know where these conversations are going to go. And like, what's going to make me cry or whatever. And I was like, looking at this girl. And I'm like, you're here like celebrating your bachelorette. Like, you're getting married this year. Like, by all accounts, this is one of the happiest times of your life. And she's sitting here like sobbing during my songs. And I was like, oh my God, like you literally, like you just like never know what anyone is dealing with.
Sure.
You know, it just like really hit me in the moment. I was like, this is supposed to be like such a happy, joyful time. And I'm like, but who knows? Like, who knows what you're feeling right now? Like, it was just, it was really wild to me. Cause I was like, my best friend got married last year and her bachelorette was just like, well, it was a great time, but we also went to this woman and we all got piercings and had like bone and talisman readings done. She like had a whole bag of like literal like bones and like little things. And we all like sat in a circle and she like read, she like threw them on this little like chart. And then she like read each of us like based on how they fell. And it was just so funny because, like, we were all, everyone cried. Like, it was just like, and I was like, holy shit. So there is this, like, bonding thing, I think, that happens through that too.
Sure.
That's, like, a really beautiful thing. I was like, I don't know. Now I'm just thinking about the magic of women getting together.
Well, and that's what I was going to say too. That's, you've got, you know, you've got all your girls with you, your guards down. And I mean, your stories are, they're emotional anyway, you know, I mean, they're, you're pouring your heart out when you, when you tell your stories about your songs and how they came up. And
that's true.
Yeah.
It's very true. Oh my God. Yeah, I was just like, I was like, whoa. And also last night, I was like, oh yeah, the Wordle yesterday was bleat. And then these two guys in the audience, like, with their heads and look at each other. And I was like, what? And then he goes, that was the word today. And he was like, the one guy's like, that was the word today. And then the other guy goes, and I haven't done it yet. And I was like, yeah, no, I thought that it was yesterday. It's like, I can't believe that this has been the same day. So wild. But cool. So I feel like, because you are really good friends with Andy. So I feel like we need to make that connection on here. And you were doing, are you still doing, like, were you doing, like, booking for him or, like, back end stuff for him?
I was on, so yeah, that's basically my end to the whole local music scene, is because I have no music knowledge, talent, whatever. I just appreciate it.
I was going to say, but you're a great listener.
I appreciate it. I like to go to the shows. I love live performances of any kind. But yes, Andy had, well, the podcast is on hiatus right now. I don't know if it's...
Which one?
It was Unsigned 518... it was Unsigned Unwind. Yes. So that... I was doing back end stuff for him on that one and booking for that podcast. Yes. So he had put up a podcast, or he had put up a post right around his 51st birthday, I think, maybe 52nd. I don't know. I'm getting the years confused. But anyway, it was right around his birthday. He had put up a post about something and it went crazy. Like, it got a ton of hits.
Oh my God.
Like your guy's Bob Pillow. And
That's so funny.
And he, Bob. So the thought, he just went, the thought process was to do a podcast with other people that were unsigned in different areas and find out how they unwind and just give them another area of exposure and kind of get ideas from other areas. So we were working on that. And I think that might have been around the same time where things were ramping up with Metroland for Andy.
Oh, sure.
And, you know, he already had a full plate to begin with. So he just kind of...
Dude, does and we too weren't, many things.
We didn't have, like... He had gotten through most of the interviews that had been scheduled, or all of the interviews that had been scheduled. So he was just like, hey, we're going to hold off on that right now. If we're going to do it again, you know, we will. And I'll let you know. And
yeah. Yeah, because it's just, I mean, I even hit him up the other day. He hit me up the other day, actually, because we were supposed to relaunch this in February, like this week. And I don't know when this will air, but it'll be a bit, because I was like, I'm going to be totally honest with you. I was like, I am tapering off and coming off of steroids for the first time since July.
Oh, wow.
I've been on them since July. And I was like, and my rheumatologist, who we have the same rheumatologist.
We do have the same
rheumatologist. We need to actually talk about her. I'm like, I don't know if I should cut this out, but I'm like, that experience was fucking wild. Oh my God. I knew there was something I needed to talk to you about, and there it is. Just remembered. Oh my God. We will talk about that. But she, like, looked at me basically when I was like, oh yeah, that was in December. And I was like, I've been on steroids since July. And she was like, and I was like, yes. And she goes, that's going to be rough. Getting you off those is going to be really
rough.
Yeah,
it's going to be a big come down. Even just... I have, like, a small dosage that I have, if I have a flare, just something to, like, break it up and get me out of it.
Yep.
And that's rough coming off that. That's like a 6-day one. So yeah, I'm glad that you're prepared and you know that you need to.
Yeah. I was just like, Andy, like, time. Yeah, I was like, I think this is going to be, like, really bad. I mean, she looked at me and said it was, so I was like, And so I was like, I just don't think that I can, like, give this the, it's due at the moment. So I was like, I have almost all of the second season recorded. Like, we're banking the episode. So I was like, when I'm ready, we can just go. But I was so nervous about like texting you, and he was like, oh my God. He was like, we'll just put it on hiatus until you feel ready. Like,
yeah,
nothing's happening until you say go. And I was like, thank you.
Absolutely. Because
it's like, it is so hard. Like, I just feel like, you know, I just feel like I'm letting everyone down all the time, being like incapable, you know?
Well, and that's a valid feeling. And I mean, I can tell you as a listener to your podcast, would I like a new episode to listen to every day? Absolutely. I would love
every
that.
Every day.
Yes. I would love that. You know, if I could pick, that's what I would pick.
Oh, my God.
Like I said, I work from home. I listen to about, you know, 5 to 6 hours of podcasts a day. I would love to have Angelina time every day.
Aww.
However, you're not letting anyone. I mean, whatever you're putting out there, you're not going to put good stuff out there unless you're taking care of yourself.
It's
you
so
know?
True.
And you have to. You've got all these buckets that you're filling, you know, and you need to make sure yours is filled too.
Yeah.
So, and one thing that Andy and I have in common is our age and our wisdom on that experience. I mean, like, we've gotten to the point, we talk about people say, you know, in your 30s, you start to not give a fuck anymore. Mm-hmm. And then we're like 50s, you're just like, nope.
All bets are off?
Yes.
Oh, I can't wait.
And I think he probably, just his personality, I think he hit that a little bit earlier than I did.
I can totally see that.
But it's kind of freeing, you know. And I've listened to your stories about your songs and your podcast and things like that. And we've had conversations where you're starting to figure out some of that stuff much earlier than I did in my journey. And it makes me very happy for you, because then you have that much more time to enjoy that.
Yeah, because I feel like, honestly, though, I feel like my body has, like, forced me to, like, learn that. Because I'm like, I have to have clear boundaries, and I have to draw them, and I have to be really smart about, like, my time and my energy, because I don't have a lot of either, and these days, and like, I'm so drained already that if I'm gonna do something, like last night's like a gig, and I'm like, yeah, this is gonna be great and it's gonna be fun, but I'm gonna come home and I'm gonna be exhausted.
Absolutely.
And today is gonna be rough. Today's just gonna be rough. That's just what it's gonna be, and it's gonna be like fine, you know. And I was talking to a woman who I do some energy work with, and she was like ups and downs are normal. Like, what we're trying to do is just like even them out, like just lessen a little bit, like lessen the low a little bit. And I was like, because even at this point, even a little bit,
absolutely,
is great. I was like, oh my God. So I do. Can I ask, like, what does a flare up look like for you?
Well, I mean, my
the heavy sigh. Also, wait, can we back up and? Do you have, like, an official diagnosis?
I do have an official diagnosis, which I did get from a rheumatologist.
From Dorothy Lacombe?
Yes,
Dorothy Lacombe. If you don't mind me saying.
No, I don't mind at all.
I should say that, too. Like, anything that, like, later you're like, I don't actually feel comfortable with that, we can cut anything
out. Oh, no,
out.
I'm okay, notoriously an oversharer,
great,
so.
Me too.
So, Dorothy, I have not tested positive for the gene that says I have ankylosing spondylitis, but the way Dorothy looks at things, looking at my x-rays and tests and everything, so she has diagnosed me with ankylosing spondylitis. So,
that's so wild, though, that you don't, that's so weird, huh?
Yeah, yeah. So it's not, I mean, for probably a year, well, I think it took 7 months to get a diagnosis, which I realize is not. 7 months is a long time to someone who does not have a chronic illness.
Yeah.
But 7 months is like really short and really quick for someone who does have it.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I was like, that's amazing.
Absolutely. Yeah. But and in those 7 months, I found out all of these things that were not wrong with me, which I was really excited about. I'm like, I'm glad that I'm at this age. I carry some extra weight. Like, I'm not, there are all these things that are good. That's good. But what is wrong?
What the fuck is it? Yeah.
And so I mean, my normal pain level is about a 3, just standard baseline pain level at all times. Lots of pain in my feet, all my joints, My back, even though ankylosing spondylitis is like with the spine, my back is probably the least of my worries.
Weird.
But the end result of the disease is my back will end up fusing together. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I'll be in a wheelchair at some point. Yeah. But a flare is just like everything hurts more. Yeah. You know, I'm at a pain level of about 6 or 7. My fatigue is crazy all the time. I mean, it's just not, I just am so fatigued. I explain it, it's like being pregnant, which to someone who hasn't been pregnant, that's not, I mean, you may or may not understand, but when you're pregnant and you get to like 8 or 9 months and you're big and it's hard to walk and you're tired because you're growing this life inside of you. Human. Yeah. But you're also like, oh yeah, I'm 8 or 9 months pregnant. I should be tired. I should be hurting. And you know what? I'm going to have this kid and eventually I'm going to get back to normal.
Yep.
But that just doesn't happen.
Yeah.
And that's why I was telling you, I got a rollator. I have I call her Rita. She's
Rita the rollator.
She's all tricked out. She's got all kinds of local band stickers on her, and I ordered her from the UK, and she's really cool looking.
Oh my god!
But that
what color is she?
Pink.
Oh yeah! Oh my god, I love it.
That helps me be able to walk further, mm-hmm. and I can go faster. Like BJ is, when I walk with her, he's like, "What? Wait! Oh, I can't keep up with you."
Oh my god! Is it like a walker? Like,
and it's got a seat on it, but it's much cooler looking than like a traditional one.
Oh my god! I want to like see it. Is it specifically like a rollator? Is like the word I should look up?
Well, look up Byacre. That's the brand. Byacre.
Yeah. Oh my god! Byacre rollator. Oh yeah. My god, let me see. I'm so excited.
Yeah, and it's pretty.
Oh my god, yeah, look at this. Right? Oh my god. It looks like a little like a scooter. Like a little. Oh my god, it's so cute.
And
stop.
It's also designed so that you can stand straight up rather than bending over. So it's
yes, because the bending over, I could never.
It's almost like pushing a stroller, mm-hmm. or a like a shopping cart. If I'm having a hard time walking and we go to a store, I will grab a shopping cart because it gives me that stability.
My grandma would always do that.
It's the same kind of thing. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh my god,
so
that's amazing.
A flare just makes everything tougher. You know, and like you said, having those boundaries of what you can do and what you can't, you know, you just have to stick to them harder.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, that's wild. How did your, first of all, how old were you when your symptoms started presenting?
So, and I think we've had little bits of conversation around this before, but this happened the end of 2021, but looking back, I think that this has been something that I've been dealing with. I've been, most of my adult life, I've carried extra weight. Mm-hmm. And I guess I've always just attributed some amount of feeling like shit to, well, if I lost weight, because that's what all the freaking doctors tell you when you
100%.
Go. So, yeah. But just different things. But I do think, and I believe you and I are in the same position in this, being in a healthy relationship, in a place where we can be completely vulnerable, open to what our challenges are, things like that, our body is just like, hi, this is
wrong happening
with you.
Now. Yeah. Yes. And I see that online like all the time, like just other chronic illness girlies being like, everything was fine until I dated the perfect man. Yes. Like, and then your body feels like safe. Mm-hmm. And then it feels like it can be like, now we can deal with this thing, which is just such a fucking crapshoot.
Isn't it?
Because I'm just like, all I want to do is like be with this person and like enjoy our life together.
Right.
And we have just had roadblock after roadblock after roadblock after roadblock. And like for some reason, I'm like, and you still want to fucking be here?
I've had this, BJ and I've had the same conversation. Absolutely. I'm like, I said, I think I always tell him emotionally he's getting the best version of me.
Oh,
but
yes.
Physically, absolutely the worst.
Yes, that is the perfect way to put it. I'm like, I am. I don't want to say I'm self-actualized, but I'm like, I am like mentally
healthy, good to go, unless I'm in a flare up and then I'm like absolutely fucked, because then I'm like, I'm just like freaking out about everything all the time. But like, I am so emotionally healthy. I should say maybe that is like emotionally like, well, like I'm like, I went through all the shit and then we found you. And then I was like, okay, like good to go. Let's do this thing. And then it was just like, nope. You can't have it all, girly. Like, that's what it feels like. Right. I'm like, God damn it.
Now, yeah. what are your flare-ups look like? Not that I'm supposed to be interviewing you, but what do your flare-ups look like? Because I believe yours, like, you're not moving.
Right now, yeah. That's what they look like. Like, my back is so bad. I'm pretty much horizontal. Like, September was when I had my last, like, worst one. And I feel like maybe just in the last, like, 2 weeks, I feel like I'm recovering from that. And it is now February.
Wow.
Yeah. Like, I had a session the other day with this woman. She was actually just on the podcast, Erin, at Turner New Leaf Massage. She does, like, she originally stems from massage therapy and then started doing work with, like, energy work with, like, gems.
Okay.
She's so fucking cool. But, she was just asking me the other day, like, what does your pain feel like? And I was like at when it was at its worst. And I was like, this thing that happened to me in September, I was like, I've been in a lot of pain. I was like, I have never felt pain like that. I was like, I can't even describe it to you. Like, I can't even find the words. Like, I was like, it's such a deep, guttural, like, never ending just like pain. It was like I was cleaning, and I was like moving the couch and like whatever, and was like, I was also on steroids. I was like tapering off steroids and then got hurt, because that happens a lot too.
Yeah,
because you think that your body is like fine, but it's actually not. And so actually right now I need to remind myself while I'm tapering, I need to be like chill. But I was like, this happened. And I was like, I felt like I was like, oh, I'm never going to recover from this. Like, I felt it like deep in my bones that I was like, I fucked something real bad. And yeah, I was like, I was down for like a while. Like, it was JP and I went, I was like just researching shoes that I could wear, whatever. And I was like, oh, I think that they have these shoes at Nordstrom and Colony, at Colony Center. And we got out of the car. Me barely moving, and we walk up and I go, oh, Nordstrom's closed now. Start to cry, because I'm like, what even was the point of me getting out of this car and coming here? And like, it was like we were on our way to work, but I just was like immediate tears. Aww. And then I was like, well, there's a Famous Footwear in here, let's see if they have something in there, whatever. And I found these, like, they're like a recovery shoe or whatever. And they were like on sale. They're like $150 shoes on sale for $25. It was crazy.
Oh my gosh.
And I remember just like putting these shoes on and being like, oh my God, like the most relief I had found in a very long time. I put those shoes on the other day actually just to be like, what are these like? And I was like, oh, I can't even wear these. Like, they're uncomfortable now, but they were exactly what I needed when I was like, yeah, when I was like flared. But I was just like, it was the craziest feeling. And I was like, it was a weird thing where, like, even, I don't know, maybe this was like a few weeks ago, I was like lying in bed and I got up to pee, and it was like, I just got up and walked to the bathroom, sat down, peed, stood up, just felt this pain in my back. And I was like, oh my God, I'm going to throw up. Like, it hurt so bad that I was like, really thought I was going to vomit. And I was like, whoa, like that is like, and I was like, that's the level that we're at. Like, that's what's happening, you know? So I was like, it's just so hard to like describe, because I'm like, sharp shooting, sure. Dull ache, constant, yes. Like all of it. You know what I mean? So, and then, yeah, just like, I mean, I've been on steroids since July, so my fatigue hasn't been too bad. It's like, right, if I have a really big day the next day, maybe I'm a little tired, but it's like, I take that steroid and then I'm like, I don't even feel it.
Yeah.
You know, which is crazy, because it's just like poison.
Yeah.
But it's like, I mean, and I keep like, these words, my doctor said to me, he was like, what, he said, like, you need to be like, you know, we got to keep you like able, like to do something, to like exist, you know? And I was like, I don't feel like that at all right now. Like it's
right.
Crazy. It's crazy what my body has been through in the last like year. I would say like year and a half. It's been absolutely nuts.
And you don't have a diagnosis yet?
Not yet. I'm going actually this week on Thursday because okay. I just had my first appointment in December.
Right.
And then we did a bunch of blood work and x-rays and whatever. And then she was like, I'll see you in 2 months. And I was like, 2 months? Oh my God. Like it felt like so long. And I don't know if she was waiting for me to taper off these steroids, but I kind of was like, I didn't want to come completely off them until I saw her again, because I was like, I need a plan. Like,
right.
I need to know like what's happening, because Dorothy Lacombe was the craziest doctor's appointment I've ever had in my life. I was like, now that I'm fully prepared, I'm like, okay, I'm going to go in with a completely different mindset. But like JP and I were in there. I was in, this was December. I was in way more pain than I am now. Probably, I was probably at like, not maybe not way more, but I was probably at like a 6, and now I'm at maybe like a 4. And so she walked in, and I was standing up, and my water bottle, this one, mm-hmm. it's like, it's an Owala, but it looks like a Stanley cup. Everyone's like, what is that? A Stanley Owala? Everyone like freaks out about it when they see it. I had it on the windowsill, and she came in and she was like, oh my God. And I said, I have that and this, and everyone just likes to give me tumblers. And I was like, I literally couldn't even like understand what she was talking about. Like JP and I were both like, we literally looked at each other like, because he came to this appointment with me, because I was like, I feel like this is going to be like a big appointment. And he was like, but you want me to come with you? Like, do you want me to be there? And I was like, I feel like I kind of do. And she came in and she was going on and on and on and on and on and on and on for, I'm not even kidding you, probably 5 minutes. And then I go, oh my God, you're talking about my water bottle? And she was like, yeah. And I was like, oh my God. Like I couldn't follow her train of thought. She was pulling up pictures of things and then she starts showing us things and whatever. And I was like, what? Like, we probably talked about what was actually happening to me for 5 minutes in total of this like 30 minute freaking appointment. It was crazy. And she came in with like her little dog, mm-hmm. her little like geriatric dog,
yep.
who's just like, I was like, oh my God. But I feel like she's going to be really thorough, and I feel like I trust her.
And she, within that 2 months, like you said, it being 2 months, but she's waiting for you to come off your steroids, but she's also waiting for all of your labs to come in, and she's going to, she'll walk into your next appointment and she'll be mid-conversation, midstream of thought.
Yes,
absolutely.
Yes! Okay, yes. Okay, great.
With her
okay.
dog.
With her dog.
And
okay.
I go to 7 a.m. appointments, and I am not a morning person.
I went to a 7 a.m. appointment,
but
too.
I just like to get it out of the way. She's definitely a morning person. She's just...
Okay.
That's just normal. That's just her.
That's her. Oh, my God. I've never met anyone like her.
But she will have already looked at your labs. She'll probably have a plan. Like, she'll...
Wow.
She's her.
Yeah.
I mean, she's Dorothy. She's yes. just, and the reason my diagnosis, the reason I was able to get in and get my diagnosis within 7 months was because my doctor at Hudson Headwaters was also a nurse practitioner who literally was like, when I was, she never doubted me one single time. Ugh. Cheryl never doubted me at Hudson Headwaters. Like, she validated every concern I had.
I love that
while we were
so
going
much.
Through the tests. And
that's
then
also
she,
probably why you got a diagnosis so quickly. Because I so feel
she,
like.
And she was like literally texting Dorothy while we're in her office.
Stop.
And she's like, we need to get you into a rheumatologist. So the fact that I was even in there that fast, you know, it was just. And Dorothy's not, she's not conventional.
No. I would agree with that.
But she knows her stuff and she yeah. cares. She cares.
I really did feel that. Because like yeah. when she left the room, I just was like, she left and I was like, I almost wasn't ready for her to go. Because I was like, I feel like we didn't even get enough time together because we spent yeah. all this time talking about a fucking water bottle. But
right.
I was like, I just feel like this is happening and now this is happening. Like, this has been happening on the left side of my body, but now this is starting to happen on the right. And she was like, we are going to get you all sorted out. And I was like,
and
okay.
she, and as she types this. Her answers out, she as she types her like summary, she says it as she's typing it, which is like her time saving way of doing what she needs to in the computer, wrapping everything up with you, and then off she and is to gone. The next conversation yeah. and the next yeah. customer.
Literal customer. You yeah. do feel like more of a customer in that situation. Yeah. It does feel less patient-y. I did. It was so funny. I had a doctor's appointment 2 weeks ago, and he was like, so like, how did it go? And I was like, oh, well, like, I haven't seen her yet. I see her in like in February, whatever. And he was like, I was like, yeah. And she came into the, she came into the room with her dog, and he goes, a dog? And I was like, yeah. He goes, like, he literally gasped twice, and he goes, in the office? And I was like, yeah. And he goes, oh. And he was like shocked. Yeah. I was like, eh?
It's,
I was like,
not, it's, I mean, I don't want to say it's an unprofessional office, because it's not, but it's no. not the standard professional, like what you would be expecting.
But I also was like, I was like, great, bring your little dog in here. Like, I was like, I love that. Like, yeah. I was like, I think that we all need that.
Absolutely.
We're all coming in here like in so much pain and having dealt with like a lot of like health related trauma and everything, you know. And she also looked at me and she was like, you know, there's like multiple ways that we like diagnose pain and things. And she was like even just looking at you, she's like, I can tell you're in pain because you haven't stopped moving. Like, she was like, you keep shifting and you keep moving and you keep like rocking back and forth. She was like, I came in and you were standing up because I know that you can't sit down for that long. And she was like,
right.
And it was just like this whole thing, and I was like, I felt very validated with her. I was like, okay, like, it's gonna be okay, you know. So I'm kind of excited for that. They think that I have mixed connective tissue disease, because that's like what my ANA was like reading, was like
okay.
a positive for that, and like a couple of these other things, because I was looking at all the blood work that she did. Of course, it all came up in my chart.
Sure.
And so I was like going through it all, and I was like, oh, these are, a couple of these were related to that. So I was like, okay, that'll be interesting. But she did have like my entire body x-rayed, and I did, it was like 32 vials of blood drawn. Like,
holy moly.
Yeah, like, I went in and they did the first arm, and then it clotted, and they had to get a second phlebotomist to come and do my second arm.
Oh my gosh.
It was and then literally the second phlebotomist walked up and goes, oh my God, I know who this is. Like, she knew that it was Dorothy who like called for the labs.
But I think that's her approach.
Yep, I love that.
Well, and she even talked to me about x-rays. So I went in for follow-up x-rays at this point, just because I've been seeing her for so long. And she's like, she was asking me, she didn't have me get my hands x-rayed, because she's like, you work on the computer, and at some point there might be a carpal tunnel issue, and we'll x-ray them then. They're not bothering you now. But yep. my feet are. So she had my feet okay. x-rayed, because she's like, we know it's radiation when we're doing an x-ray. So we don't want to just willy-nilly x-ray everything. Yep. You know, we want to make sure that these are measured points in time where we're doing it. My disease was progressing. Or is progressing. So she, I'm on a biologic now.
Okay.
And I started that in November. It takes 3 to 4 months to start. I'm just now starting to feel like maybe that's doing something.
Yeah.
Of course, lowers my immunity, which was another reason to avoid people at Chowderfest yesterday.
Yes. Oh my God.
But it's, it does seem, inflammation was gone instantly. From the first dose. So I've got to follow up with her just to check in and see how all that's doing.
Oh, my God. So you started that in November. You feel like inflammation was gone instantly.
Yes.
What are you seeing now that's like...
more energy.
Really?
More energy. I will get done with work, which I'm working on a computer sitting at my desk. So it's not a physically draining job at all. But... it used to be done with work, putz around a little bit, and then I'm just down
yep.
in the chair for the rest of the evening.
Yep.
But it hasn't been that way.
Do you feel like when you have more energy, like the last couple of weeks I've had more energy, and then I'm like, I don't know what to do. Because yeah. I'm like, I'm so used to now not being able to do anything.
Absolutely.
That now I'm like, oh my God, what do I do with this time and energy that I have that I didn't have? Like,
absolutely. Yeah. But speaking of boundaries, I'll do a half hour in the chair, and then I'll do like yes. a half hour up.
Yes.
And then go rest again.
Yep. I know. I have
precautionary.
I have to lock into that a little harder, because I do, even like today I was like around. And then I was like, oh, I've been up a lot. Because it's like when you have that energy, you like,
yes.
you forget. And then I feel like sometimes my mind goes ahead of my body.
Oh, of course.
You know? Yeah.
Yeah.
And then that's how I get hurt.
Yeah.
I'm really glad we had this conversation today, actually, because I'm like, I really needed this reminder of like, girl, you gotta chill.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. That's crazy. So how do you feel like when you say the inflammation was instantly down, like how did that present itself?
I mean, I could feel it, but also see it in my body. I mean, like certain areas that are always seem to be inflamed where everything was a little calmed down. Wow. Feeling less bloated.
Wow, because I feel like I'm just bloated all the time.
Yeah.
Never and, not bloated.
I mean, the autoimmune part of it, that's what it is. Your body's trying to fight whatever it is that it has. So inflammation is, it just flares up instantly.
Yep.
And just, like I said, the less fatigue.
That's incredible.
Just being able to move around differently too. Not having as much, just being more flexible, I guess.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's amazing. So what, you're on a biologic now that just started in November.
Yes.
Was there a reason why, because you said that this started like happening in like 2021.
So she had done my extra, so she didn't want to put me on a biologic right away. So there are potential side effects, just like there are for anything.
Yep.
She didn't want to put me on a biologic until I needed it. And then this last round of x-rays showed that my disease was progressing. And obviously she wasn't happy with, like, I'm sure that there was a certain amount of progression expected and maybe it was more than that or something. So, she did prescribe the biologic. And that was a whole, I mean, she prescribed it maybe June.
Okay.
And that was a whole medical, that was a whole insurance thing.
Fuck.
But
yeah,
because Dorothy Lacombe's office deals with this, I had to be my advocate and I had to keep them on it because they have a million other patients that they're helping with. But we had to go through, I guess there's like 25 different names of biologics. So this one wasn't approved, but this one is. And she told me to begin with, she's like, your insurance is tough. She goes, it's going to be hard, but this is what we do. Yeah. And I just had to keep portaling, you know, just to let them know, okay, this one's declined. So they would get back on it. And
then we
finally got one to go through. But we got it to go through. It's like $1,000 a month. But I got approved for one of those copay thing, like the company that makes the drug is paying for it. So
oh my god, that's amazing. Oh my god.
Yeah.
Oh, good for you. Wow. That's incredible. Yeah. I'm a little scared about what that whole thing is gonna be.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I'm curious. I'm just so curious like what her plan is gonna be, because I have no idea.
You know? I'm confident she will have one. She just needs to have the data.
Yeah. To like put it, because she was like, she basically was just like, she was like, do you like puzzles? Do you like mind puzzles? And I was like, yeah, I do. I do my New York Times games like every day.
Right.
And she was like, that's going to be you for me. Like, I'm just going to put you together and we're going to get all these things. We're going to get all this information and then we're going to put you together like a little puzzle. And I was like, okay. So yeah, it'll be interesting. I'm a little scared about the whole thing, but
of course.
Yeah.
It's a little scary. Absolutely. Yeah. It is.
Yeah. Cause it is this thing where I'm just like, oh, like, cause I think that all of last year I was kind of like going through just like, you know, going through the grieving process of what this whole thing means. Right. And I think I was just like, doing all this research and going on TikTok and like seeing what other people are doing, usually women, really. I don't really see it's a heavily like women affected thing, autoimmune, and just watching all these other girls. And it was like, okay, well, like I fixed my autoimmune through food and the anti-inflammatory diet and like da 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 and all this stuff. And I was like, great, okay, I'll do that. And I did that. And then I was like, it's not helping. And then it was like, try this thing, it's not helping. Like I was trying all these different things. And then actually I got an MRI in January and I was like lying in my MRI and I was like, Jesus Christ, like if I had a normal person job, I couldn't do it. Like, absolutely. I literally couldn't do it for a multitude of reasons. And I was like, one of them being, I would just have to leave in the middle of the day. Two, I had just gotten all that blood work done. I was literally at MultiMed Urgent Care getting like all that blood work and x-rays done for probably like 2 hours. Sure. It was crazy. And I was like, a normal person can't like do that. Like leave in the middle of the day for 2 hours, like to get blood work done. And then a week later, leave in the middle of the day for 2 hours to go get an MRI, right? Like I just was like, this is wild. And I had this moment of like, I was lying in this MRI and I was just like, oh, I'm a sick person. And like something like just like clicked in my brain. Mm-hmm. And I think that I spent all of last year being like, I can fix this.
Yeah.
You know, like I can do this. And then something in the last couple months, I've just been like, oh, like this is, it's beyond me. Yeah. Like, sure, if I don't eat sugar, pounds of sugar a day, that'll probably help. But I already don't eat pounds of sugar a day. Like, right. I don't. I drink maybe like 2 coffees a week. I had one today. It's decaf because now my body can't handle caffeine at all. And, you know, like we cook everything at home. I know what's going in my food. Like all of these things that I'm like, these were all the things that are people are telling right. me to do is like, I'm already doing all of those things and this is happening. I don't smoke. I don't drink. None of it. So it was just like, what? There's nothing else that I can do.
I was really, really keyed into the mind-body connection when I first got this disease or it first reared its head or whatever. And I'm not against that, but I was just like, I was gonna fix it that way.
Yeah, I'm like, through my mind, I'm going to fix it. I'm gonna, absolutely. I just have to not be stressed and I'll be fine.
Yeah. Or be positive, which... I'm a recovering toxic positivity person anyway, so I don't know how I'm gonna positive my way out of something. But that's where, I mean, like the mobility aids. You've seen me with my walking stick, my cane. I've got my rollator now.
Love that.
Did I want to have either of those at 50 some years old? No, but they're there. They're aids. They're there for a reason, you know. And if I can do more and go further,
yes,
with them,
yes.
And it's even if the biologic helps, so that I don't need the thing I just bought.
I know, because I saw you walking in without your cane, and I was like, oh my god, like what's going on?
I do it all by. I mean, some days I need my cane for everything. Some days I take it just because I'm going to need somewhere to lean.
Yep.
You know, so it's all fluid. It's all dynamic. But I'm like with the rollator, even if I end up not needing it for the next year or two, at some point I'm still going to get older and more feeble.
100%.
So I'll need it.
You're going to need it. Yep. Yeah. Yep.
And it's funny when you said autoimmune with women. So ankylosing spondylitis is primarily a male disease.
Whoa.
Is what I've always read. And people normally get diagnosed, like, no one gets diagnosed in their 50s with it. It's normally like 30s, 40s. But wow. I follow a bunch of things just like you do with the autoimmune world. And this one woman said, it's not that women don't get it and only men get it. They only listen to the men that have it. Yeah.
Oh my God. I literally want to like stab someone in the throat when I hear shit like that.
Yeah.
And I was reading this Reddit thread the other day, and this one girl was like, I make sure I go into all my appointments. She's like, I literally roll out of bed. Like, she was like, I don't put on makeup. I don't do my hair. She goes, I roll in there because she goes, they will not take me seriously if I don't look like shit. Like, she's like, that's the only way. Yeah. And I was like, whoa. Like, I was like, that is a move. Cause whenever I go into the doctor's office, I'm always just like, all right, well, like, I'm just going out in the world. I'm going out in public. So I'm like, well, sure. I'm going to put on pants and shoes and do the whole thing. And then, like, this last year, it was also just, like, literally, I was like, I don't even have the energy. I just don't have it. So I'm literally walking out of here. My new favorite thing is, like, a sweatsuit set.
Okay.
I'm like, give me a matching top and bottom little sweatsuit. Because I'm like, I like, love clothes. I love fashion. I love this. One of the hardest things for me, this is going to sound so vapid, but... one of the hardest things for me is I'm like, shoes. Like, I love shoes. I have a huge shoe collection. I can't wear any of them right now. I just can't. I'm like, I'm literally, I have to wear Crocs around my house because I can't be barefoot because it flares up my back. So I have my Crocs that I wear around my house. I have my Crocs that I have when I have to walk outside. And I literally am living in my Hakas right now. And that's pretty much it. That's like, I'm like wearing sneakers all the time.
I just donated. I worked at the bank for 23 years. Yeah. I dressed professionally for 23 years. I just last month, Harper and I were both cleaning out our closets and I donated my heels, all of them. I'm just like, I can't,
you know,
I, and
what?
But that's, I haven't worn them for 4 years.
Right, right.
But I finally was like, okay, let I can get rid of them.
That was probably freeing also.
It was.
Yeah, that probably felt good. And I feel like I have heels. I also just, even before all this, really didn't ever want to wear heels ever again. But I have, I have a ton of them just like sitting in a box. And I'm like, you know what? Maybe it's time. Because you know what? They're also all from just like musical theater days. Because it was like musical theater was like, you wear a jewel tone dress and nude heels. And then it was like, then we could kind of start branching out of like jewel toned and nude heels. But like that was when I bought all of those, was like in college. Like I never cared about heels. Never gave a shit. Even when I could wear them, didn't really want to wear them. So it might be time to let those go. Maybe I can let those go. But I really am not ready to let go of like my boots yet. My like cute little fall boots. Yeah. I'm like, I have to hope that I'll be able to wear them again.
And I also have in the house shoes.
Do you?
They are, yeah. They're the barefoot shoes. They're like sneakers are barefoot shoes. And I have a pair that BJ got me for my birthday, and they need to be replaced. They're dirty and yucky. Like I've used them for everything.
Yes.
And he got me a new pair for Christmas. He got me a pink pair. And I was like, and we're a no shoe household, but I'm like, I think these are just gonna stay in the house.
That's especially, I have like with my me in-house
walking
shoes.
Around so much in the house.
Yep.
So
that's me too. I feel like I'm just kind of like putzing all day.
Yeah.
And it's like a little laundry here or that. But they like these Crocs do not touch the outside.
Yeah.
They do not touch the outside. And even every now and again, I'm like, even just bringing them down here, because sometimes my students will wear their shoes in here. Mm-hmm. So then I'm like, even at the end of a day, sometimes I'm like, I wipe them down.
Right.
Because I'm also just like, I don't really like shoes in the house either. Like, not my thing. But like, and I actually like love being barefoot. And I also just like love wearing socks. Like, I just love walking around in my socks. But I'm like, living in the Crocs. But I'm like,
well, you need that support.
I know. Yeah, it's crazy. It's crazy. And I'm also just like, I'm 32.
I know.
It's crazy. And JP just bought me, you'll appreciate this, JP just bought me like one of those little grabbers.
Mm-hmm.
Like this way I don't have to bend over.
Yep.
And I was like, I sent my cousin a Snapchat and I go, is she 82 or does she have an autoimmune disease? Right. And it was like me picking up a sock with like my little grabber. And I was like, but I can't tell you like how much joy this stupid little thing brings me, because I don't have to bend over. And like, because every time I bend over, it's like, yoink, you know, I can feel it through my whole back. I'm like, oh my God.
I also have one of those just because I'm short.
So yours is to like reach the tall things. Yes. Luckily I have a very tall man around, so that's usually pretty okay for me. And if I have to do something way above my head like that, I'm like, oh well, I'll wait the 3 hours until he comes back. Right. I guess.
Well, BJ's like, we have a step stool, and I'm like, but I have you.
But I have you. But you're such a tall, cute man. That was yesterday. I'm like unloading the car, and this girl comes out, and she's like, oh, like, well, JP's unloading the car. But let's be real, I'm not unloading the car. JP's unloading the car. I can't lift shit right now. And she comes out, and she was like, oh, like, do you guys need help with anything? Like, whatever. I always grab like just like the light things, and I was like, no, like we're all good. I was like, I got a strong man's. And she was like, oh, we love a strong man's. I was like, mm-hmm. We love a tall, strong, cute man's. We'll keep him around. But yeah, it's interesting. And now you just got engaged. Was that last year?
It was last year last on year. Valentine's Day.
So oh my God. So like almost a year.
Yep.
So do you have wedding plans coming up? Do you know what you want?
So, and it was funny because you said that you knew that JP has a ring. Mm-hmm. Because BJ, I picked him up at the bar before Valentine's Day last year.
Yeah.
And he had way too much to drink.
Oh my God, did he tell you?
Like, yeah. He's like, he's
I
like,
I love that.
He's like, I bought a ring. And he's like, I've been carrying it around for like months.
What?
And I'm like, in my mind, I'm like, I hope when he wakes up tomorrow, like, I hope for him when he wakes up tomorrow that he forgets that he told me this, you know? And then the next morning he's like, I told you about the ring.
Oh,
he was
remember?
All excited.
Oh my God. But like, but the, he, yeah, because I don't know when he's going to do it.
Right.
You know, so it's right. still like exciting.
Oh, of course.
Yeah.
Absolutely. That was probably January. And okay. I think I was sad for like a week. Like, oh, I know.
That you like knew.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But he proposed on Valentine's Day. And we want to do our wedding DIY.
Yeah.
And we want to do it our way because neither BJ or I are conventional humans.
Yeah.
And this is not our first marriage for either of us. Mm-hmm. So, but we tentatively are looking at having it at Unahog.
Oh, fun.
They have said that they will have us, but we haven't like worked out contract or anything like that.
Yep.
But November 11th of 2028, because our 10-year anniversary will be November 12th of 2028.
Oh, my
God. So we'll
God.
Wake up that morning as married, but also it'll be our 10-year anniversary.
Oh, my God. So, oh, my yeah. God. Wow.
So oh, and just non-conventional. I mean,
yeah,
we're
totally.
Just we want to have the ceremony and the reception in the same place,
yep.
and we want to do it somewhere where there is the booze and the food, so we don't have to worry about bringing that
lugging
in.
It in.
And just as a matter of fact, as everyone was karaokeing yesterday, we started talking about our friends are not really dancers, and we're not either. We're like, maybe we should just do
karaoke
instead of dancing
yes.
for the reception.
Oh, my
so
God.
So we might do that.
Fun. Oh, my God. I know, because we're not like, I mean, well, actually, JP and I like love dancing at a wedding. But JP's always like, you know, we like going to parties. But he's like, I'd rather be the musician at the party. So we're going to have music and then be like, but we reserve the right to step up and do whatever we want whenever
Absolutely.
We want.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I was like, that's the vibe. And I was like, great. So I was like, and it'll just be our friends playing music. So I was like, it'll be like, I'm so excited. Because we're also going to be very much like, very DIY. And my cousin, who's like my best friend, she's like, oh my God, well, like, we'll plan your shower and do the bachelorette. And I was like, I don't even think I want any
yeah.
of it. Like, I don't think I care about it. And I was like, maybe I'll do a bachelorette. Just because I think like it'll be fun to hang like with the girlies.
Absolutely.
But
and
I was like,
do it your way.
Yes.
Whatever you
exactly.
want to do.
Exactly. So that's, yeah. And I kind of want to ask you this question. This might be like kind of the last question, but I'm
okay.
just curious, like, do you find it difficult to plan for the future?
I do. And I think that's such a good question. And I look at it on your end too. So I find it easier for me, not that at 52 years old, I'm ready for this to be the end of my life, because I am not, but I've raised my babies. I've had my hand in raising these babies. I've had my career. I've found, you know, the best partner in the world. Like, it is hard. It is hard to plan for the future. Because I've even had that thought, the wedding's in 2028. Like, what is my health going to be like that? Am I going to be here? You know, I mean, it's, I've become more of a telling people what they mean to me and things that I think like right now. I've always had an aspect of that anyway, but definitely just in the moment, you know, take care of everything right there in the moment. Yeah, because I don't know. I mean, none of us know. Perfectly
so
healthy
true.
People don't know.
Yeah.
But yeah, taking my health into consideration and what I may or may not be capable of is definitely a fear and a concern of mine.
Yeah. Yeah, because I feel that too. It's like we're thinking about like getting married in September, and I'm like, who knows like what that's gonna look like, you know, like I have no idea like what, hopefully things are better by then, but I'm like, I do feel like I'm having a lot of grief right now because I'm like, oh yeah, I haven't reached a peak yet. Like, I'm doing amazing things and I love everything that I'm doing, but I also am like, this whole thing has really railroaded all of that, you know what I mean? Because I'm like, I can't, it's really hard for me to like plan a gig
because I'm like, I could say yes to it, and then in 6 months I could flare up, you know what I mean? And then I could have to say no. And so it's, I'm really struggling with that. But I actually do like the flip of being like, that could be anybody. Like, it could, even healthy people, you know what I mean? But there is, I think, just like a different level of difficulty and grief with it when
absolutely
you're like living like this, you know?
Absolutely. I think there's a lot of grief that comes with it.
Oh my God, yeah. So much. It's crazy. It's crazy. I am curious. Are you a person who was like, go, 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 go? Were you that way?
Yes.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I still haven't untangled if it was the trauma. I'm not going to go too deep, but my marriage of 23 years was not a good partnership. There was a lot of go, 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 go required of me.
To
as stay far alive. As being the breadwinner, to stay alive, to keep everybody happy, to, yeah, all that. So
to survive, I guess, is more the word I was looking
for. Yes, about. Absolutely. But I was still, once I left and was on my own, I was still that kind of person.
Well, I think,
yeah,
maybe you were, but like, it's also like, are you still just in it because that's what you right. were?
Yeah, yeah,
you had to be. Yeah, there's, I guess there's no way to know.
That's, I mean, I will tell you on the flip side of that, I will tell you that realizing that I deserve rest and that I've earned rest, and it doesn't. Sitting down and taking rest as a human doesn't like discount who I am. Ugh. That's been hard. That's been really Ooh. Hard. And I don't know how much of that is from, I mean, there's layers. That's I don't know so how hard. Much of it's from childhood.
Yeah.
From my marriage, from just me, just restrictions I put on, or not restrictions, but expectations I put on myself. So, yeah.
Oof, I feel that. I feel that so hard. Oh my God. We could have a whole other podcast episode right? about rest. Yeah, about resting. Oh my God. Yeah, that's wild. Well, I can't believe we've like already hit an hour, because I feel like I could talk to you forever. I'm like, my God.
I feel the same way.
Right? Like, I'm just like, holy shit. But thank you so much for being here, and for being like so open and vulnerable about all of that. I really appreciate that on like a multitude of levels, because I think I've like needed connection with like another human who has gone through something similar to me. So I like deeply, deeply appreciate this. talking about saying something in the moment. So
right. Absolutely.
Thank you so much. Thank you for driving down here and doing this and having this whole conversation and opening up wounds.
Thank you for having me.
Literally anytime. You are welcome anytime. But yeah, hopefully we'll chat soon. I'm sure we will.
Sounds good.
Yeah. Talking to normal people.